wanted to talk to you a little bit about some factors associated with successful aging among a group of postmenopausal women after age 60. And we're going to be looking at these factors associated with the successful aging as they relate to women in their 60s versus 70s versus 80s. And I would like to acknowledge my colleagues, of course, at various institutions, and also acknowledge that this paper received the honorable mention for the Erickson Foundation Award through the new Aging and Public Health. Am I right with that? Okay. I would also like to acknowledge our funding source, and also I have no relationships to disclose. Now, when speaking of successful aging, we know that the life expectancy is increasing, and it's increasing even more for women versus men, and that has given researchers a new focus to kind of highlight the quality of life of those extended years, those additional years that we're all, I guess, experiencing. And so, even though there's no true consensus about successful aging, the definition of successful aging, it's very individualistic, it's also very cultural. There are also many other different types of similar types of concepts like positive aging, disability-free years. But we do know that however it is defined, successful aging is very much multifaceted. It's not only the physical, it's also the mental, but it's also those experiences that you encounter with others. And so because it is so individualistic and because it is so hard to measure, we oftentimes have to rely on self-reported data or self-reported measure of successful aging. And so when we start thinking about successful aging, we do know that the positive attitudes and the activities that individuals engage in can influence their perceptions of successful aging. And we do know that the activities that women engage in throughout the lifespan, whether it be in their 60s versus 70s versus 80s, starts to differ a bit. And that it could be the positive outcomes, the positive outlooks of their life that influences the types of behaviors or activities that they engage in, but it also could be kind of a recursive type or, the causality is not quite known is what I'm saying. We don't know whether or not the positive attitudes influence what people do or whether it's what people do that influences more of how they feel. And so we do know that there are many different correlates of successful aging and that there are many different factors, whether it be the personal characteristics of the aging female, whether or not it is the physical health and mental health, which oftentimes are interrelated, but also that morale. And by morale, we start thinking about that has a time component into it. It's kind of how well am I aging? How well am I looking toward the future? And so it does have an aspect of time. But then we start looking at different types of activities, whether they be leisure activities, social activities, or work-related activities, one way or another, of course, having many different variations, and of course taking into consideration that many different people like to do different types of things. But what we're trying to do is see how these types of aspects start to influence different levels of self-rated successful aging. And so specifically what we're trying to do is describe some of these study characteristics as they relate to these postmenopausal females in different age strata. And those are the individuals in their 60s, in their 70s, and in their 80s, but also to see how these factors contribute to or associated with varying levels of successful aging, but then also to identify the common and unique contributing factors to successful aging between the different age strata. So not only how does it relate to the different levels of successful aging, but does that differ for women in their 60s, 70s, and 80s? So I know many of you probably out there are familiar with the National Women's Health Initiative. This is a national longitudinal multi-site study which examines the morbidity and mortality among postmenopausal women initiated in 1993. But the successful aging study is where we got our data, and that is a continuation of the Women's Health Initiative that is at the San Diego Clinical Center site. And so these individuals, they recruited some of the original Women's Health Initiative study participants and then asked those women to participate in their study, sent out a mailing, and many of them did, as you see, a 55% response rate. So some of these women who are already being tracked longitudinally then agreed to be in this more in-depth type study. And so the independent, or the dependent variable, apologies, is the variation in self-reported aging. This was on a one-item scale from 1 to 10. The average score in this sample was an 8.1, so it's very positive. People self-perceive themselves to be very highly successfully aging. And so to explain those subtle differences, what we were able to do is to take those individuals who scored at the lower side, below 7, and compare them with individuals who scored very high. So compare those people who said very low, from under 7, to those who said 8 versus 9 versus 10, and see if we can kind of stratify or tease out some of those aspects associated with the highest levels of successful aging. Again, the primary demographics being age strata, the 60s, 70s, and 80s, but also ethnicity, education, and marital status. Looking at some of the health indicators, we looked at morale because we, again, think that that positive mental outlook on life has a big contribution on successful aging, but then also the physical component summary and mental health component summary scores from the medical outcome study, short form, and then those social engagement. The average times, these are the average number of days per week that an individual engages in these types of activities. And so, we analyzed data from 1,942 women meeting our inclusion criteria. We did look at bivariate analyses to compare the study variables by women in the different age strata. But then we conducted 4 multinomial logistic regressions to identify the importance of these study variables as they compare to individuals with the lowest scores and compare them to those individuals scoring 8s, 9s, and 10s, because again, the highly successfully aging. And so what we did is we performed 1 multinomial logistic regression on all participants, but then performed those regressions again independently for each age strata to see if we can find the unique and differences. So for all women, the average age was 73.2 years in this sample, and you can see that almost a quarter self-reported as the lowest category from 1 to 7 of successful aging. That means that almost or more than 75% were either 8, 9, or 10. So very highly successfully aging in this group. The vast majority were non-Hispanic white, had more than a high school education, and over half were still married. But then as we start looking at the oldest group, those women, that 20.7% of those who were 80 years old, we see that a larger proportion of these individuals were non-Hispanic white, they were less educated, they were unmarried, but they also had worse scores of morale and for physical health. Now, when looking at the activities, now I only grabbed the 3 top and the 3 bottom here, but for all women, you can see that the top 3 activities were talking on the telephone, visiting with neighbors and friends, and computer activities. And then taking the 3 lowest activities, we saw that child and grandchild care, sexual activity, and paid work. And that was only about 1 in 4 participants who reported doing any of those on average 1 or more times per week. Now for the older adult women, again, those individuals who are age 80 plus, we see that they had less, or they reported engaging in less computer activities. They had less sexual activity, but they played cards more often. They had less friend visiting and less travel, less paid work, and less childcare. So continuing on, this is for all women. So again, the referent group being those individuals reporting from 1 to 7 of successful aging, and then each of these models, each of these blocks, we're trying to identify and tease out some of those highly successfully aging type individuals and those covariates that can explain some of this type of variation. So what we do see are that the older individuals, being older was associated with more successful aging, and we also see that education was associated with more successful aging. The morale, physical health, and mental health, you will see, will remain throughout all of these, but on all 3 of these measures, the more physical and mental health, the more self-perceived successful aging, but also with morale. The more positive morale that you had, the more likely you were to report successful aging. Now, talking on the telephone and sexual activity, these were all associated with successful aging. The highest of the high, remember. Also traveling, as was paid work. And so now, keep these in mind, by the way, because as we come to the end, we might want to talk about the different types if there is time. And if not, I will stay up here or meet you afterwards and we can always discuss this. So when thinking about some of the successful aging and those in their 60s, education remains, and as I said, the morale, the physical and mental health, but also the organized social activities were indicators of higher successful aging. When looking at individuals in their 70s, again, we see the same block of three, but then we see talking on the telephone emerges. And when looking at those individuals over age 80, we see that same block, again, all three of these measures indicating a higher level of successful aging, but then we see that sexual activity actually is highly significantly related, and then visiting with neighbors and friends, although this is in the negative direction. So visiting with neighbors and friends among this age strata was actually associated with worse successful aging. And so what we see is that our findings of successful aging are actually quite consistent with those that have been reported elsewise. Very high levels of self-reported successful aging among older adults. And some of the intuitive associations with education, morale, physical, mental health, we expected to see some of these things, and they make sense. And then with social engagement, we see some of the differences in those individuals of their 60s, 70s, and 80s. So with those who are 60s, the organized social activities, and again, these individuals might be more recently empty nesters, they might be retirement, they're starting to have healthcare access, they're going through some of these life changes, and they're starting to have maybe some free time to be able to get into some of these organizations and different types of organized type participation. Now, with those individuals in their 70s, it might be more of telephone, where these individuals can then stay in touch with their loved ones, their family and friends, who have now moved on and are starting lives outside of their local homes. And then with 80s, those individuals with sexual activity, again, it was a small percentage of them, but it seems to make a very large difference. But then those visiting individuals, those individuals who are visiting with others, because that was in a negative relation, we see that that might be because it's actually for a loss of independence or maybe other types of needs, therefore that's needed to have other interaction. And so we see that these different types of age-based activities are associated with many different types of, it could actually influence many different types of public health interventions, identifying different types of activities that these different age strata might want to engage in. Again, looking at not only developing the programs, but also ways to reach and deliver these programs to these individuals, but also encompassing all types of the mental health, the physical health, and the morale. So those physical activity programs, not only focusing on the physical health, but also engaging them in more, you know, exercises for mental acuity, but also those positive outlooks, those things about looking toward the future, measurable goals that they can get into. And then, of course, the coordinated efforts better to assist women who meet their needs as they progress throughout the lifespan. Again, we see that these women have somewhat different needs in their 60s, 70s, and 80s. It's not to say that the activities that are identified here are the say-all. It's not that 80-year-olds can't benefit from using computers, etc., but this is a preliminary glimpse, but it might be that the liaisons to be able to help individuals find the activities in their area, identify the activities that these women can most engage in, but also the other types of linking services from the aging and public health networks to ensure that these women get exactly the things that they're looking for and the things that they're going to enjoy and participate in. Thank you.